Welcome to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah, an IFS-informed trauma recovery coach. This show features interviews from guests all around the world as they share their impactful stories and deliver hope and inspiration through their personal post-traumatic growth. We explore and discuss resources and coping strategies to support the survivor community to thrive in their own healing journeys. Enjoy. Welcome back to episode 107 of the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah, and today's going to be a little bit different as I wind the podcast down for the summer. So I thought it would be fun to recap today. As you know, I started this podcast, it was solo, with the first 78 episodes being a mix of guided meditations and information about various resources. But then as I began the podcast, I started getting contacted by so many people who wanted to be on the show to tell their stories and share their own resources. So I honored that outpouring by featuring 8 bonus content shows with interviews from so many wonderful people all around the globe. The reception was great and the emails for requests just kept pouring in. So this season thus far, I've interviewed 19 more people to showcase their harrowing stories of hope and thriving, along with their own resources that they now offer to the world, along with discussing the resources that were catalysts in their healing path along the way. So this being my second personal show to share directly with the audience, I thought it would be kind of cool to just interview myself. So here's my bio intro. Throughout my life, I have struggled with familial dysfunction, chronic stress and chaos, emotional and narcissistic abuse, unhealed generational trauma, developmental trauma, a high ACE score, emotional neglect, as well as religious, legal, parental, and relational trauma. My trauma role left me with dissociation, people-pleasing, being a fixer and a perfectionist, tons of chronic somatic issues, an eating disorder, severe self-abandonment, ultra-independence, anxious and avoidant attachment, hypervigilance, and disjointedness for my emotions. One of my favorite resources for finding information on lifestyle design and healing modalities are podcasts. So right before the pandemic hit, I was listening to the Trauma Therapist podcast, and I heard him interview a certified trauma recovery coach. And that word washed its way into my bone marrow before I ever even finished listening to the rest of the interview. During the pandemic, I made the leap, and very long story short, here I am. If you'd actually like to hear more in depth about my personal journey, I encourage you to find the link below to my interview on Guy McPherson's Trauma Therapist podcast that just aired last week. It's probably the biggest full circle moment in my healing and career thus far. Since starting my private practice, I've gone on to achieve my advanced coaching certification through the same association, as well as becoming an IFS-informed coach via the IFS Institute. IFS remains one of my most important modalities personally, and the most powerful to offer my clients professionally. If you don't know about IFS yet, you can check out the podcast episode that I did about IFS. The link is going to be below. This podcast, Trauma Survivorhood, which is still in its early stages of growth, has yielded me a great creative outlet for writing and speaking, hosting, as well as connecting and networking with some powerfully amazing human beings. Thank you for having me on your airwaves today, however you're listening or watching. In other announcement news, before I get back to the interview, I am in the late stages of launching my own healing system via consultation and coaching. Apparently, this is a word called being a coach sultan. This is literally all I can say about it now until everything is set in stone and the program is actually launched. So just stay tuned for the next couple of months. Also, I've been offered a unique opportunity to possibly host a live show that's streaming video to major streaming services, as well as audio that's pushed out to all the podcast directories. So I'm going to spend this summer kind of contemplating this shift, but the vision of the show and its mission will remain the same. If I make the jump, it's just going to be a professional production company producing for me, and also it will be live. So stay tuned if I make that big decision. Back to the interview. One of the big things that I asked my guest is, what has the hardest part of their journey been? So if I was answering that personally, I would say that the top things that come to mind are being able to reconnect somatically to my body,
But that's not actually the hardest part. The hardest part was actually being disconnected somatically from my body for so long. So now I'm in like this retraining mode, right? I have a lot of high rigidity from years of stress hormones and what we call bracing. So working on this has been challenging, but rewarding. Another difficult thing that looms pretty darkly for me at times has been my eating disorder that has been with me since childhood. So I have great coping skills, great tools in my toolbox, but this is still part of the tiring fight for me. If there was a magic wand to uncomplicate food's tangled web in my mind, especially when it comes to relationships, I would use it. On top of it all, mentally and emotionally, I do have a couple of rare GI disorders and diseases because, you know, why not, right? So as soon as I get back on a healthy track on how I feel toward food, food and my body betray me biologically and medically. So that tends to set me back. But don't worry, I just keep plugging along in this labyrinth that we call trauma healing. I'm here for it. I'm doing my own work. But also on a lighter note, I'd say that one of the most intricate and difficult parts of me from day one on this planet is the learned behavior and automatic response of fawning to be, you know, a fixer, a rescuer, a savior. And actually becoming a coach has ultimately been the best place to find healing with this. I've also made huge strides in this via IFS, internal family systems therapy, but coaching for me has been a proper outlet to use the abilities and capacities that I've grown as a superpower in my fixed fawn response. I am amazing at reading people, helping people, active listening, sensing dysregulation, and so much more. I'm not tooting my own horn, but it's literally all that my brain knew for so long. So now I get to utilize those wonderful skills in a healthy way with my clients. I do practice client-led coaching, so I'm not rescuing anyone who isn't asking for help. I'm offering resources, opportunities, options for others to grow in their healing without fixing them myself. In fact, now my brain and my nervous system know that it's not my job to fix anyone. And the people that I spent a lifetime trying to fix, well, they weren't asking for my help. They were demanding that I did everything for them. And this led to a lot of emotional manipulation, a lot of enabling on my part, and them never having to put on their boots and do their own work. So now I have this wonderful way of walking alongside people in their healing while they do all of their own work. So I only match the effort that my clients are willing to invest in themselves. So there's a balance there. So someone out here probably needs to hear this. So I'm just going to say it. We are never supposed to put more effort into someone else in any sort of relationship dynamic more than they're willing to put in themselves. So that took me over 30 years to learn, but I get it now and it's powerfully changed my life. So I don't know, maybe someone needed to hear that today. Lastly, in my interviews, I always ask my guests what were some of the most important healing resources while they were in their healing journey. And since this is the main mission of this podcast, I'm just going to just throw a bunch of mine out. So not only do I get to heal from trauma, but I also get to master lifestyle design in any area that I want to succeed at. So for me, it's not just resources aimed at healing from my trauma, but it's also resources for like all of these other major categories of health and well-being while I'm healing. So if you're an avid listener, you know I talk a lot about the regimen of self-care. Yep. It looks so different for everyone else. So I just thought I'd throw out a slew of my personalized, curated lifestyle design resources that keep me really holistically grounded and centered and constantly growing. So therapy. You heard me talk this up on the Trauma Therapist podcast if you've listened to the episode, but before I even knew coaching was a thing, I started in therapy. And for me now, my therapist feels like a coach. He challenges me. He gives me questions to ponder. He's kind of like this guide, this very functional guide. I involve him in all of my other modalities that I'm working on at the time. So he's never been pathological or diagnostic with me. So I would kind of consider him like a touch tree in that regard, like my landing place, no matter what else I'm involved with or trying at any time. And that's just the therapeutic relationship that we've built. Another very important, very healing resource for me is IFS. So it's that ever discovering, ever present parts work. I actually still do guided parts work session where I'm mapping and I'm exploring. About a year ago, I was able to uncover some repressed memory in an IFS session. I made a huge discovery, a big system that's related to my eating disorder just a couple of months ago. But really on a regular basis, I'm using parts language. It's just really become the fabric of my canvas at this point. So another huge resource would be meditation. And I've been meditating for many years now, but I've started to shift now into somatic meditations as I continue to work with the soma body sensations, and I'm relearning those subtle recognitions inside of my body. So even though I've been meditating in multiple forms for the years, this new somatic piece correlates with the somatic experiencing and somatic movements that I've been doing on a regular basis now. Another big resource would be journaling. There's nothing more bittersweet than reading journal entries from years past. It can help you see how far you've come sometimes and sometimes not. But journaling really keeps me on track and it gets my stuff out of my brain. So on the iPhone app that I use is called Grid Diary. That's the one I use. I design my own prompts and I change them out every couple of months. So currently I have a grid block for gratitude, affirmations, quotes, thoughts, revelations, and then a daily overview before I go to bed, just so I know what I was up to that day. I also type out notes on my iPhone, just in the literal note app on the iPhone. Maybe after like a difficult therapy session or when I'm circle thinking about something and I need to write it out, I'll just grab that and jot out a few paragraphs. I also have this ongoing memoir document on my computer that I started during the quarantine that I was in April of 2020. So when I feel like really like sitting down and going ham on a particular topic, I use that. So now that that's out there, now that you guys all know about it, after I die, go ahead, publish it. It's my innermost thoughts. Have at it. Another super important, one of the most important resources for me is my habit tracker. I would just be nothing without habits trackers. It's just my personality, right? So I've used the app called Productive. I used that for 5 years. It was very difficult to switch over, but it just kept glitching, which was really annoying. And I cried about it a little bit because I was losing 5 years worth of stats. But a couple of years ago, I did switch over to the iPhone app called Habit. So what I'm tracking is like regular daily goals, exercise, reading, meditation, taking my supplements, etc. But I also can track ongoing specific goals that I might have, like a 30-day challenge that I give myself for when I'm practicing intuitive eating so that I can just see how I'm progressing and which days of the month or week were really hard. I also started working with a coach friend of mine, a soul sister, as an accountability partner, like over 10 months ago. Her and I meet weekly. We go over our previous week of goals. We lay out our new habits and goals, and then we can support each other throughout the week, however we need, via texting or a coaching session. So I don't know, if you aren't tracking your goals, how do you know when you've accomplished them? So that's just a big one for me. Another resource that I obviously use is podcasts and books. So because I can listen to podcasts while I'm driving and walking and doing chores around the house, I do tend to listen to a lot more podcasts than I read books these days. But in the early days of my therapeutic journey, I did read a ton of books. I did a podcast episode called Books in January of 2020. It was a Full Circle Friday, week 2. And I highlighted a couple of good ones now on the interview that I just had with Guy McPherson. So you can check that out. But for me, I just like to take a minute to chat up a few super helpful podcasts that I listen to pretty religiously. So if you backed me against the corner out of all the podcasts that I listened to, and you told me I had to pick just one, I would have to say The School of Greatness. What Lewis Howes has done in the last 10 years is awesome. He's created something that I think we all need, just learning to live our best lives. Like, these were things that weren't taught in school, but they should have been. Of course, he has on some really huge names. There's so many different types of topics. But what I love about Lewis is that he isn't afraid to share his story. And then he often brings the guest ideas and their words back to himself so that he can ask those questions that his viewers and listeners are probably thinking, so that he can make sure it's applicable for everyone. He does tend to have a bent on mental health. So even if it's a guest who's discussing like wealth management, right? you can bet that at some point in the interview, they're going to dip into, well, what about people with financial trauma? Or what about people who are struggling, you know, with mental health? How can they apply this episode? So the science is always spot on from studies about sleep and sex, nutrition, water, fasting, human capacity, finances. There's just so much to be learned. So if I could throw out one more recommendation, though, even though my back was against the wall and I chose Lewis, but I would say Dan Harris is 10% happier. He does have a meditation app, too, that goes by the same name. I did try it. It's got a lot of great, great capacity to it. I did go back and I stuck with my Calm app because of the familiarity and, let's be honest, because of the stats, because I've been meditating for so many years on the Calm app, but his 10% Happier app has a real lot to offer. But his podcast is very similar to Lewis in that it offers an expansive array of topics, but it sticks mostly with mental health, with spirituality, ethics, that kind of thing. He offers a ton of strategies for better living. And of course, Dan Harris, he can pull in all the big names himself too. So, other podcasts that I listen to, I obviously have an affinity for Guy McPherson's Trauma Therapist podcast. On Purpose with Jay Shetty ranks really high for me for a very similar reason to Lewis's and Dan's. I also listen to the Goop podcast, Miami Alex Breakdown, Nikki Eisenhower's Emotional Badass, The Daily Stoic, Brooke Castillo's Life Coach School, Nora McNerney's Terrible Thanks for Asking, Lori Santos's The Happiness Lab, Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things, The Good Life Project with Jonathan Fields, The Tim Ferriss Show when I like the topic or the guest, Super Soul Sundays podcast, which is the podcast of all the old Super Soul episodes, a handful of travel podcasts, a few daily motivational podcasts like Your World Within with Eddie Pinheiro, a handful of feel good silly shows too. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. My last resource that I thought I'd share today is, besides my therapist, my favorite practitioner, and guys, I have a lot of practitioners. I have a lot of somatic and medical and biological issues, so I have a lot of them. But it's my visceral manipulation therapist. She's a cranial sacral therapy, CST, licensed massage therapist. Fun story, visceral manipulation has saved my life. It's literally changed the quality of my life that you're looking at today. And another fun fact, I actually started to see a CST on a recommendation from another coach in my life. They just said, you know, it would be great. You should probably try it. So I went there. She was able to do all the CST stuff. My body loves hands-on body work. It was really relaxing. I'm like a massage queen. So I was there for it. But then when she would put her hand on my rib cage, and just FYI, CST uses the most gentle of all touch. When she would put her hand on my rib cage, I just couldn't breathe. Her hand turned into an elephant. This happened several times. She worked with me a few more times to try to get releases in my gut. And then she actually gave me a recommendation to find a visceral manipulation therapist. She said, there's just something happening in there that's beyond my scope. And she was right. I've never been so thankful for someone being honest and being willing to lose my business. So I found Patty, visceral manipulation 2 years ago, and I'll never look back. And Patty knows she's not allowed to move. She's not allowed to die or retire. And so does my therapist, TJ. So, wish me luck on those two. there's so many more resources. I mean, I told you that was the last one, but, I won't get into all of them, but there's just a lot. There's, you know, ways I've learned to hack a good night's sleep and wake up rested, why it's important to have a good morning routine, spiritual practices, naturopathic and holistic practitioners, yoga, cultivating social life, sexual well-being, time management, my career ventures, dreaming, being creative. There's play rest, there's restorative rest, there's productive rest, healing modalities, healthy boundaries, financial goals, love language exploration, education, psychedelics, hypnotherapy, cognitive retraining, mentors, attachment wound healing, just seeking a purposeful life, on and on and on and on. I have been very fortunate to have been able to try so many amazing things. Some just for a short time, maybe I didn't like them. Some are still ongoing right this moment. Some I had for a season, or I learned something and kind of kept moving. Just resources. If anybody needs any more, just find me and ask. Just send me an email. So I'd like to leave you with a few truths that I believe very deeply in. Firstly, is healing is possible for each and every one of you. Yes, Yeah, it may look drastically different from each other. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. You can pursue healing for yourself. Is it a maze? Yep. Is it a lot of work? Yeah. Is it exhausting? Sometimes. Yeah, a lot of times, actually. It comes in growth spurts and then you can tumble all the way back. Yeah, all of that is true. It is really, really painful at times. But the process is the beauty. The journey is the healing. There is a system of self-care and basic well-being tools that you can use to improve the quality of your life while you heal, and ones that help you heal. Healing for some people looks therapeutic, medicinal, or maybe holistic. For people like myself, it's a wide variety of all of those and more. But it is worth it. All of it. It's all worth it. If you haven't listened to the 25 plus interviews that I've done so far with radically transformative stories, maybe start there. From childhood ritualistic sexual abuse to poverty to horrific accidents, near-death experiences, childhood abuse, neglect, being raped by HIV-infected men in the middle of a war in Africa, alcoholism, trauma in the womb, addictions, violence, guys, so much more. Yet these humans, they were on a call with me telling me about those traumas. They are now thriving human beings. They sat with me and they told me how they got to where they are now, what helped them heal. So this leads me to my final truth that I just want to leave with you today, that word thriving. I personally believe that humans are meant to live abundantly in joy and in peace. I know that that is achievable for everyone, no matter what. I mean, that means firstly, your basic human needs need to be cared for, right? So some of us here have to start with things like making sure you have enough food and safety, right? From there, the expansion to greater security and pleasure, achievement, safety in your body, true peace and joy, that is all part of the game that we call life. And pursuing those things from the inside out is my life's goal for myself. And it's my mission to help others not just believe that, but to help them pursue it for themselves. In trauma, we start as victims. Then if we survive, we don't die. Now we're survivors. But then we can learn to thrive through our healing, not after our healing, because there's no such thing. So welcome. Welcome to your survivorhood. This is where you start. This is where you can heal, you can grow, you can thrive for yourself. So thanks for joining me today. This has been my survivorhood story. Have a great summer. I'm going to keep you posted here on the pod, on the YouTube, and on the Facebook page on where to continue listening if I do make some big leaps, or we're going to be right back here with more amazing guests in the fall. So until next time, pursue your healing. You deserve to thrive, and it is totally worth all the hard work. As always, if you need someone to support you or resource you through your healing, consider coaching. I am taking on a limited amount of new clients through the summer for coaching and/or IFS-focused sessions as I plug along in developing my new products and services to personalize the healing system and get it ready for launch. So please reach out if you have any questions. If you'd like to be a guest on this show, you can also email me, and that's Sarah, S-A-R-A, no H, at fullcirclewellspring.com. All the show notes and links that I mentioned are going to be listed below. Find us on Facebook at Full Circle Wellspring or on the website www.fullcirclewellspring.com. So take care of yourself first, but then after, you can take care of others. Be well.
Thank you for listening or watching this episode of Trauma Survivorhood. For more info, show notes, and links, check out the episode guide below. Until next time, be well, survivors.